Thanks for listening to the Susie Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always, always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, it is such a good day. It's a great day, actually, because we got our Bible Talk team on deck here ready to have a fiery, powerful conversation. Another reason it's a great day is our simple text line is now open. I have so missed hearing from you. So I'm just going to ask you, I'm going to be bold and shameless. Text me. Text me an amen or text me what the Lord's been talking to you about. I just want to hear from you and see that you're with us, right? So text me 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. What's on your heart these days? What's God been talking to you about? And you're going to want to use your amens plenty of times over this hour. Some of the things we're going to be talking about, in fact, if you're new to the show or new to Faith Radio, welcome to the family, by the way. But once a month, I have three very fiery women around the table for Bible Talk. We call them the Bible Talk team. Andy Andrews, Irene Rollins, Carolyn Haas. And so some of the things that we're going to talk about today are the impact of our faith, the power of our words, the place where we choose to dwell, and how we engage our faith and the perspective we choose, how it impacts our overall life. So I don't want to waste another moment. Let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Hey, Judy, I knew I could count on you. There's an amen. There's one other one from Kathy. Good to see you as well. All right, Andy Andrews is the author of She Is Free, Faker Follower, and Friendship, It's Complicated, and the podcast host for Coffee with Andy. She's a passionate preacher who loves to see the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ worked out practically and powerfully in our everyday lives. Based in Charleston, South Carolina, Andy's life is currently focused on raising her four kids, writing, and investing in local churches and lives around the world. Oh my goodness, friends, thanks for texting. I can't tell you what it means to me to see and hear from you. All right, Irene Rollins is passionate about helping the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health of all people. As a certified emotional intelligence coach, she loves to study human behavior, enabling her to understand a wide variety of people, guiding them to be the best version of themselves through her teaching, writing, and coaching. In March of 21, she and her husband, Jimmy, transitioned from pastoring and launched a marriage ministry called 2 = 1. They now travel speaking, coaching, and investing in marriages around the world. Carolyn Haas is a lead pastor of Substance Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. She and her husband, Peter, planted Substance in 2004. Carolyn's passionate about church leadership, parenting, and marriage. She serves on the executive team at Substance and also serves on the board for One Hope. She travels the world encouraging and equipping church planters and pastors through the Association of Related Churches. She loves being a mom to her three kids, and in her spare time, you can find her with her family or shopping for deals online. Girls, welcome back to the show.
Woohoo! So excited to be here. Hey,
looking so forward to this. Well, the friends who listen often enough know that every day my opening question is, what's the Lord been talking to you about? So we thought how powerful it would be to get three really fiery women together once a month and take the whole show to give you guys time and space to answer that question. And Carolyn, you want to talk about the impact of our faith. So I just want to back up and let you go. Take it from there.
All right. Well, you know, I love talking about the Bible. I love reading the Bible. And so I've been reading Joshua lately, and I just wanted to talk about an incredible story about a woman named Rahab. And so I want to give, just for background context, the Israelites have been wandering in the desert for 40 years. It's time for them to cross over into the promised land. Joshua is now their leader. Moses has died. And so to get ready for their first big campaign in the new promised land, Joshua sends out two men to spy on Jericho. So the story that we're looking at is Joshua chapter 2. He sends out two spies to go into Jericho, and scripture says they enter into the house of Rahab, who's a prostitute. She decides to hide them. The government literally realizes that there's Israelite spies. Like, they were smart. They figured it out. They go to her house. She's hiding them on her roof. She lies to the government about them. And then she goes and negotiates a deal with the Israelite spies. And I love her negotiation speech. It's Joshua 2, 8 through 11. And listen to what she says. She goes, "I know the Lord has given you this land. We are all afraid of you. Everyone in this land is living in terror, for we have heard how the Lord made a dry path for you through the Red Sea when you left Egypt. And we know what you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, whose people you completely destroyed. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. Now, what I love, and to me what's so profound about this, is Rahab is having a salvation moment. This is a moment where she's declaring her faith in God. And I love that she's declaring about miracles that she's only heard about. She hasn't seen them. They aren't personal. It's not like she experienced a healing from cancer, or her friend got healed, or, you know, like she struggled with infertility and now is pregnant. Like, these are just miracles that she's only heard about. Sihon and Og, those are in Numbers 21, if you want to read about them, two kings, you know, and then the Red Sea was 40 years prior. Now, scripture doesn't say how old Rahab is, but I think we can be honest and go, okay, she's a prostitute. She's not married with kids. Like, I think she's under the age of 40. I think that's a pretty safe thing to say. The only family it talks about are her parents and her siblings and extended family. So I think it's even profound that the miracle that she's heard about that is causing her to declare her faith in God is most likely a miracle that was before she was even born. And yet, wow, she declares her faith. You are this. The Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. She knows my only hope is in this God. And because of that, she risks her life. You know, and so what happens is the Israelites conquer Jericho. The spies keep their promise to Rahab. Joshua 6:23, we see it says Rahab, her father, mother's brothers, and all of the other relatives who were with her, their lives were saved. Now, we know they didn't live with her. She's a prostitute. She's not having, you know, her parents and siblings in the same apartment with her. But when it came to this moment of Jericho being conquered, she brings in all her extended family and their lives get saved. And so I think it's important that Rahab's faith ended up resulting in the salvation and a future legacy of her entire family. And if you study scripture, Rahab ends up being the great-grandmother of King David, and she's in the genealogy of Jesus. This is a woman who was meant to die. Her entire people were supposed to be destroyed, and yet she has this faith experience. And to me, I'm just inspired because, again, these miracles weren't her own. They're something she heard about. And again, the Red Sea is something before she was even born. And so I just, to me, I think, man, that's why I read my Bible. I read my Bible so I can read about the miracles of God, things that I haven't seen personally in scripture because it happened thousands of years ago, but they stimulate my faith. And if God did it for them, he'll do it for me. And so I just love that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. I also love that her faith and her courage changed family history. It changed a family legacy. It changed a genealogy. She gave birth to leaders and kings. So if I think about application for us as listeners here, I think, am I aware of the impact my faith can have? My courageous acts of faith can save lives. I can change my family history. I can birth leaders because of my courageous faith. So then I thought, okay, that's great, Carolyn. I appreciate hearing that. How do we increase our faith? Again, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. There's something about meditating on the miracles of God that causes our faith to increase. And so then it made me think about Psalm 77. It's one of my favorite psalms, where we watch the author, his name is Asaph, and he actually navigates an emotional makeover. It's actually kind of an intense psalm when you study it. Like, he's depressed. He can't sleep. He's discouraged.
He's like, you don't even let me sleep.
He, no, I mean, he's moaning. And he literally says, when I think about God, I moan. I mean, that's like intense. I'm kind of offended for God, you know, like, yeah, like, you can't moan at God, but Asaph is moaning at God. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then he's like, when I think about my fate, like, he had that, Henry Cloud calls it a depression loop, where it was permanent, pervasive, you know, like, he just thinks God has turned against me. I mean, it's a dark psalm. And then all of a sudden Asaph goes, then I recall the wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. And here's what's crazy. Asaph goes back to the Red Sea miracle. Now, if you look back, we're talking great, 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 great grandparents. At least 120 years prior was the Red Sea to Asaph, right? So this is a miracle that, like, 120 years ago, but it's the miracle that resurrects his faith. And so there's something about the miracles of God that restore our emotions, that restore our faith. They reset us. They reset our faith. And it just makes me say Hebrews 13:8, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
On.
I just
Somebody text me an amen. What I marvel about is that none of us know what the other is bringing to the table. We got to take a break here, but Psalm 77 was one that I was bringing to the table as well. And I know by getting a look at the notes, the text that just came in right before the show, these things are all tying together, the things God's speaking to you, to Irene, to Andy, to me. So when we come back, we're going to just sort of spring off of what Carolyn had to say and just give our own feedback, and then we'll bring to the table the things that God is showing each of us. It's Bible Talk Team, and it's fire. In fact, on our little text thread, I put a flame because it's always fire when these women get together. And I think that should encourage you, friends, that you find your most fiery people in your life. They might not even be your best friends. I wish they would be. I hope they can be some of your closest ones. But think about the most fiery Christians you know. See if you can get together with them. And if you can't personally get together on Zoom, put your flames together because firepower happens. It's just so important to connect with people who are earnest in their faith walk, who take God's word seriously, and who continually cultivate a heart of expectancy. We should always have joyful, hopeful expectancy. That's why I bring these girls together every month. So I got some amens coming in. If you need a reminder, here's the number, 877-933-2484. And boy, more great talk on the other side.
The Bible is valuable, and reading and studying the Bible can transform your life. Hi, I'm Angela Smith, host of Reading the Bible Together podcast. Several times a year, we release a new Reading the Bible Together study. We've studied Luke, Daniel, Advent, Lent, and so many more. You can access all of our studies for free by going to the Reading the Bible Together resource page at myfaithradio.com. In addition to the studies, we also have the accompanying podcast. You can listen wherever you listen to podcasts. You can study on your own, or if your small group or Bible study is looking for what to study next, check out the Reading the Bible Together resource page at myfaithradio.com.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. We're having a powerful conversation today with our Bible Talk team. They join us once a month. It's Andy Andrews, it's Irene Rollins, and Carolyn Haas. And each month, I just put it on them to just, you know, come with whatever it is the Lord's showing them. And if you listen every day, you know that every day I ask my guests, what's the Lord been talking to you about these days? But we usually take 5 to 6, 7 minutes at the most. But this time, once a month, we like to take the whole show to really just delve in. What's always so powerful to me is how we come to the table and we find out that our stories intertwine, and the things God's teaching us, you know, when Irene brings her piece and Andy brings her piece, you'll see how much they support each other. And then you've got this feast for you that will strengthen you. So prior to the break, Carolyn was talking about so much. Oh my goodness, it was so good. But talking about Rahab, and just here she's a prostitute. She's of a people that were condemned to die, but she borrows faith. In fact, she's inspired by miracles that had happened even before she was born. And if I remember right, she's either the mom or the grandmother of Boaz, who married Ruth, so a Moabite. I mean, when you think of what Jesus did as far as what God did and weaving her into the lineage of Christ, it's an amazing thing. And then you went to Psalm 77, which I'll talk about my piece a little bit later, but that's one of my passages as well, of Asaph moaning to God, blaming God for his troubles, but then he turns on a dime and he says, but then I recall, I remember your miracles. And then he declares the wonders of God. So I want to go to Irene next, because I feel like this piggybacks so much with your text message that came in right before the show. I'm like, oh, I'm in awe. So what do you say?
Yes. So I am blown away, Carolyn. Thank you so much for sharing that, just how that weaves into the thought that I've been thinking. Today's my 24th anniversary, wedding anniversary.
Woo!
I'm amazing husband, Jimmy Rollins. Those who don't know my story, it's been the best 7.5 years ever because we are a walking miracle. We are a testimony of miracles still at work in marriages and relationships. We were at rock bottom 7.5 years ago when I went into rehab for alcohol addiction, and we thought we were going to lose everything. And just today, I've been sitting here reflecting on my anniversary, just remembering the deeds of the Lord and his goodness and his mercies and his grace and the miracle he's done in my marriage. And so when you were sharing, Carolyn, and I'm thinking about Asaph, I've had my low days where I'm, you know, feeling like, oh my gosh, we're struggling with our communication. Is anything ever going to change? And I get this woe is me attitude, kind of like Asaph. But then that reset happens where I have become aware of my thoughts and my feelings. And I understand that now that my emotions and my feelings impact my thoughts and they're connected to my behaviors. So if I want to see change in my marriage, and this was the light bulb that went off years ago, Jimmy and I were stuck in the cycle of shame, shaming each other, just dysfunction in our communication, and made me think of this scripture, Romans 7:15. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. In addiction, I was just in that cycle of why am I doing this? But I keep doing it. And I really started thinking about, you know, what led Jimmy and I to that bad place was our past still showing up in our present. Like people say, oh, you know, the past is the past. I don't want to deal with it. It's something that I just don't want to have to rehash. But your past is not your past when it's still here. It's in the present, and it's still impacting you in the present, not in the past. So we really just started diving into trying to understand why we do what we do. So if it starts with our feelings and emotions, getting in touch with that, then what does that feeling or emotion lead to in our thought life? So how am I thinking about my spouse? How am I projecting something on him that happened to me in my past, the way I was loved by my parents or not loved or abandoned? And, you know, when we expect something to happen, whether it's conscious or unconscious, we have a tendency to have what I call self-fulfilling prophecy or projective identification, where we unconsciously act in a way to make things happen. So when we expect our spouse to abandon us, treat us poorly, then we almost make it happen. We'll cause a fight or an argument or what have you, and we'll begin to see the very thing that we didn't want. So Philippians 1:20, I love how it says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. And I love how the Apostle Paul here is just really leaning into this eagerly expect and hope. So I won't, if I can change my mindset when I identify the emotion, when I identify the thought that goes with it, but then that reset, like Carolyn was saying, eagerly expecting and hoping in what I don't see yet. Like Paul was in chains in prison. He was looking for things to praise God about.
That's great.
He was looking for his goodness. And while chained, he was giving thanks. So when we start to think of our relationships, our marriages, our mental health, anything that's bothering us and kind of holding us down that we keep moaning and groaning over, maybe if we examine what we expect and do the work, which is the identification of the thoughts and feelings, and maybe we can actually heal and begin to see God do a new thing in us. And change happens when we have eager expectation. Then we will see change. And I believe that he's already doing it, just like Isaiah 43:19 says, he's doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? Mm. And That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Mm. It might be right in front of us, our miracle.
Wow. Yeah. Which proves you can miss it, right? If you it's called, the call is to perceive it, and it really does go back to what you look for, you find. And we've covered this, Irene, on the show lots of times about that whole the RAS in the brain. It's a reticular activating system, I believe, is what it stands for. Where truly, what you're repeatedly thinking about, your brain will look for, you know, mm-hmm. evidence to back up your bias, even if your bias is completely false. So if you're ruminating on rejection and your brain is scanning the room looking for anything that can build a case yeah. in that regard, because your brain is so fearfully, wonderfully made to accommodate your thoughts. I mean, it's just so when you think about that, I'm counting on God's goodness. I'm counting mm-hmm. on his redemption. I'm looking for the best in those that God has given me to love. I mean, you'd said this in the notes that I mean, this requires our cooperation. This involves yeah. us too, rather than passively sitting back wow. and letting biases be confirmed so we can continue to further build a case for why we're stuck.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Wow. 100%.
Anybody want to chime in? Amen. And Andy or Carolyn, you want to chime in to what Irene has just shared?
I was even just like the connection to both of these, like, but, yeah, I'm excited to share too, because I feel like it all connects to what both of them have said mm-hmm. and what your brain is ruminating on, it will find. So the positive or the negative. So just thank you for resharing that again, because I think even when we get to a place where, how does offense set in? How does bitterness set in? Well, it's that one moment of unforgiveness, that one moment of pain that we don't deal with, we don't look at, we don't walk in forgiveness, we don't dig out the lie, and therefore we start to dig a hole. But if you can get really good and really quick at operating in forgiveness and figuring out, oh my gosh, that was where the lie came in, was in that moment of pain. You'll start once again, like you said, ruminating on the right things, focusing on the right things, having faith in the right things. And I just love that you have lived this so well, Irene, and continue to do so. So you're just such a walking testimony of this.
That's so good. And you know what I think is that this is where, again, I'll bring back why the Bible is so important. And I feel like I'm going to say this every day, wow. everywhere, is we are not reading the Bible enough. We do not have enough Bible in us. And mm-hmm. I think it's safe to say we as American Christians are very whiny and we are very self-centered and we're very much me, 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 I haven't experienced, and so we are so experiential with our narrow focus versus it's okay if you haven't ever experienced a healing or you've never experienced a miracle, but guess what? Open your Bible, yeah. read the miracles of read about it, and then engage your faith like Rahab and say, you know, if you did it for Sarah, you can do it for me. If you did it for Hannah, you can do it for me, and grab a hold of it. And then I am telling you, you will experience a miracle. You will have, like Irene said, that reshift and that reset in your emotions, because God's word is truth. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free.
Mm. So good. Yeah, we have to take a break here, but I'll let you finish, Andy, on the other side. But again, so far as we're thinking about what Carolyn said, what Irene said so much about, what are you telling yourself? What are you looking for? What are you believing God for? You know, what are you telling yourself about who God is, about who you are, your circumstances? And I have to agree with Carolyn. I mean, we are coddled Christians in so many ways, and it is time for us to get in the Word, to engage our faith. And in the not yet, when God's not giving us what we want, will we praise Him? Will we worship Him? Will we stand on the promises of God and engage our faith, saying, He is who He says He is. He's going to do what He says He'll do, and I'm going to bow to Him, whether He's given me what I want or not. And every season, He is God. And He's worthy of our praise. So when we come back, I'll have Andy comment. I think she had something to say. And then we'll cut Andy loose to share what God is giving her as well. It is Bible Talk Team today. We welcome your comments, questions, texts. You can text them in at 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. I hope you're having a fantastic day. Thanks for tuning into Susie Larson Live. Every month we have what we call the Bible Talk Team on the show, and it's three fiery, powerful women. I love these girls, Andy Andrews, Irene Rollins, Carolyn Haas. And basically, like we do every show, every single day, I ask, what's the Lord been talking to you about? We take a few minutes with my guest. Well, once a month, we get these girls around the table, and we take the whole show, giving them a chance to unpack and then bounce off of each other, bounce off of me what God is talking to us about. And it always amazes me how God ties it all together. And by the way, friends, our text line is working and I love it so much. In fact, somebody just texted in and said, amen, amen. Fabulous show today, Susie. These women are on fire. Come on, somebody. You can text 877-933-2484. So we've been talking about the power of our faith and the impact of our perspective. Now, Andy Andrews is going to talk about the place where we dwell. Go on, Andy, take it.
All right. I will. Well, first of all, I was going to just bounce off a couple of things too, from the ladies before. And, when Carolyn was speaking, it made me think of Revelation 19:10, where it says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And it made me think about how, when we hear the testimony of what God has done, when we see what Jesus has done, see, once again, it's like how Carolyn was talking about how we don't read the word enough. So therefore we're not ruminating. We're not meditating on the right things. We're not running to those things. Therefore, we're not seeing what Jesus does. But when we see what Jesus has done, how he has healed, when we hear the testimony of what Jesus continues to do or how he parted the Red Sea, it's the spirit of prophecy, which means we are speaking into existence what he can do again and again and again. And so I think it is cool watching how everything ties together. And even what I want to share today, I just had my eldest graduate from high school last week. So yeah, that was so amazing. But you know, when you step into a new season and you feel that shift in your family, but what was so interesting was leading up to his graduation, he is taking a gap year this year. He has officially deferred from a college in New York City. And but man, we had a lot of conflict and just fights, and we were like, you know, having really hard and good conversations. And it's like the Holy Spirit was reminding me, Andy, he's only 17 and his frontal lobe isn't fully formed. You just need to relax. And so it's okay. But I kind of got to this point too, where I realized, what am I dwelling on as a mother? What am I dwelling on when it comes to him? What am I dwelling on for a multitude of things? And I remembered years ago, the Holy Spirit whispering to me, Andy, what you dwell on, you dwell in. What you dwell on, you dwell in. And so I just wanted to ask the question, even to the listener and to myself once again. It was like I just did a deep dive in myself, and just three quick questions. So what do I run to when I am confronted with something difficult or a hard conversation or a major transition or conflict? What do I run to? And I have always loved Psalm 91, and specifically wanted to talk about whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will find rest. In the shadow of the Almighty, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. So it's more of me thinking again, what am I dwelling in? Because do I run and dwell in the shelter of the Most High when I'm in a difficult space? Or do I run and dwell in binging Netflix? Do I run and dwell and get on the phone and have conversations that are unhelpful? Do I dwell in my thoughts that are not going well? Or do I run to the presence of God and go, tell me the truth, remind me of all truth. Holy Spirit, what do you say? And get in the word, like Carolyn has been talking about again, they're all kind of pinging off of each other. Because the second question, not only what do I run to, but what do I dwell on? So, you know, I mean, we all know that it's so easy to focus on what is wrong, broken, sick, or divided. And I think about that even in raising kids and parenting, it's easy to focus on the things where it's like, man, I didn't do well in this area. God, what did I do wrong here? Or, you know, what is the fruit of our labors of parenting sometimes, and what we see, or anything really. It can be anything, but we can easily focus on the wrong things. But I do love in Philippians 4:8 how it's a reminder once again, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And again, that's getting into the word. That's getting into the things that you know, God has done, like reminding ourselves, being grateful in the middle of transition or difficulty or conflict. What can I focus on? What is true in this situation? What is right? What is pure? What is lovely? What is admirable? And diving into those things. So what do I run to? What do I dwell on? And what words do I dwell in? What words do I dwell in? And once again, this is going to ping off of everything else, but I do love Colossians 3, 15 through 16, where it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And often we're like, yeah, that's what I want. But how does that happen? Well, let's continue on and read. It says, since as members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another. And so I was thinking about that. Often we want the peace. Lord, give me peace. That peace that passes all understanding. But often that goes back to gratitude, being thankful, and letting the message of Christ dwell in you richly. I even so often want those moments where I'm like, God, can you just make this a little bit easier? He's like, no, it's actually the spiritual disciplines that will rock your world and change your life when you don't feel it, when you feel it, when it's a good day or a bad day. Like, and even this morning, it's because we're having Bible talk team today. I'm like, oh Lord, what do I have to share? You know, I'm in this place where I feel dry as bone. And then the Lord's like, well, actually, Andy, you have just like put on, you had a million family in town. You've been celebrating all weekend. You've been doing all these things. You've been trying to get up early and do beach walks and talk with me. And we have connected, but you need to remember you're not always going to feel it, but remain in me. Dwell in me, dwell in the disciplines that actually will continue to change your life and gird you in strength and truth. And that's where I'm at the moment.
Man, somebody, I'm asking for another amen. That's so fantastic. And it, again, ties so well with what Irene and Carolyn were talking about. And going back to Colossians 3, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you're called to peace and be thankful. And I know you all know this, but that word rule translates as an umpire. It's somebody who blows the whistle when you're out of bounds. And so, you know, just as people always say, I need more faith. And I often say, Jesus said, you need a mustard seed. And if you're a Christian, you've got faith. There's the Spirit of God is in you. You've got faith. So activate the faith you have. And that's how you grow the faith that you want, right? Well, in the same way, the Spirit of God is in you. The Prince of Peace is available to you. And we beg God for peace, but he's saying, if the umpire blows the whistle, you're the one out of bounds. So retrace your steps. Where did your thoughts go south? And to me, it takes us full circle to what Carolyn was talking about, you know, in Asaph and, you know, where I went, you know, retrace your steps and you'll realize I took the bait and I followed a narrative that took me right into the ditch. Anybody want to comment on that?
Yeah, I'll jump in. What I loved, Andy, what you said, what you dwell on, you dwell in. I think when I think about, you know, again, my anniversary and the miracle of what God's done in my marriage, it started with I asked myself the question, what am I dwelling in? And realized I was creating my own misery. So the negative things, the projection I was doing on my husband from things, unhealed things in myself from the past, that was what was my reality. That's what I was dwelling in. And change didn't happen until I reset that thing and just began doing the complete opposite, dwelling in the shelter of the Most High and meditating on his word. And my feelings and my thoughts caught up with my heart. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I love this man. And you like the miracle of, you don't even realize it happens. Your mind just completely changes when you practice the gratitude, practice a healthier mindset and perspective, looking at the person who you're kind of blaming or putting all, you know, the yuck into, like if you're in a bad relationship or whatever. So,
And Carolyn, that could really apply as well. You're not married, or maybe you're married and your marriage is strong, but looking at the circumstance, exactly what Irene said, just applying it in different ways, looking at a circumstance that's making you feel like your hope is in man and not in God.
Well, exactly. You know, and I just kept thinking, I'm trying to like frantically search for the scripture, but
you know, that how we're supposed to give thanks in all things, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I just thought, so many of us, I just want to know God's will. I just want to know God's will for my life. Would someone give me a prophetic word about what God's will is? It's like, give thanks, give thanks. This is God's will for you. And so it just speaks to what both of you guys are saying is, hey, the discipline of giving thanks. What are you thinking on? What are you dwelling in? This is actually God's will for your life.
Yeah. I think it's 1 Thessalonians 5:18, but I'm guessing. I think it's that passage. But, you know, when you think about the give thanks, truly, you go spiritually blind when you're in a place of ingratitude.
Yes.
And I think revelation comes with gratitude. It's like when you start to thank him for what you have, for what he's done, suddenly you're kind of, you're positioning yourself on the path of his promises, because you think of Israelites. In Psalms, it says they refused to believe God's promise to love and care for them. So they stayed in their tents, grumbled, and refused to obey the Lord. So they were mad at God because there was no promise, even though there was a promise, blamed him, crawled in the smallness of their circumstance, and then refused to take him at his word. And again, this really begs the question, are we cooperating with God? You know, are we engaging and looking around for the things he's already done, rehearsing his miracles? And as Carolyn said, you may not even have one miracle to speak of, although I would beg to differ. Your life is a miracle. You've got lots of miracles, but maybe you can't think of one. Then rehearse the ones you see in Scripture and praise him for those. And I just think when you're in gratitude, revelation comes. Any other thoughts, girls?
Just that whole generational change. Our crazy faith has the ability to change our family history. And so it's like, when, again, it's my 24th anniversary, so I keep going back to that. Like, it is a miracle that we survived addiction and, you know, Jimmy and his food addiction and so many things together. And it has made us rather than taken us out. So just the fact that we are not going to leave a legacy of divorce to our children, I believe we've changed something generationally.
Yes. Yes. I'm going to ask one of you to pray for this, dear listener, before we go to break, and then I'll come back and share and have you girls comment. But this dear one says that they're continuing to battle on current health situation, been leaning harder into God even more, thanking him for each moment of strength and healing, find themselves quoting Scripture as they push through each challenge towards healing. And Scripture says, I've heard your prayers and seen your tears, and I will heal you. And they're meditating on that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Please pray for my miracle healing, as God is the only one who can completely heal me from this. And I believe this is to be true, even through my tears. Wow. Any one of you want to pray for healing for this dear one?
I will.
Okay, go for it, Andy.
No, sorry. We're all excited. We all want to pray.
Yes, do it. Do it. Do it. Love it.
All right. Well, Father, I just thank you for this amazing person that has reached out and is petitioning you for a miracle. And right now, I just thank you that the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is alive and at work within their body. So we command every ailment, every part that is a physical infirmity to just dissolve right now in Jesus' name. We ask that their body would align according to your purpose and that you would have your way. Would your kingdom come and your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, in their bodies, in Jesus' name. And would you have your way? Would they even begin to see that, God, you are doing something, you are moving, you are working right now, even as we pray together in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You're a miracle working God, in Jesus' name. We'll be back in a minute. Hi, this is Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. I remember a time as a young mom walking through a difficult time when some friendships broke down and who I thought were my friends turned on me. I soon started to hear things they were saying, and I was devastated because their critique of me matched my inner critic as well. And I learned three things from that time as I drew closer to God. One was that God loves me no matter what. No one can gossip enough about me to God to make him change his mind about me. He loves me. Two, my identity is secure because I'm created by God. He's already decided about me. And three, I have no option but to forgive. I remember the Lord said, keep the light on in your heart. Keep your heart receptive in case they ever repent and come back. Those three things were really crucial in my maturing of the faith, and maybe you needed to hear them today as we're exploring the theme of forgiveness this month. God loves you, No one can gossip enough about you to make him change his mind about you, which means your identity is secure. And thirdly, if you take your faith walk seriously, then unforgiveness, is never an option. Forgiveness is always the call. You can do it with God's help, one step at a time. You can do it. Connecting faith to life and praying together at myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, having a fantastic conversation with my Bible Talk team. Love these girls so much. Andy Andrews, Irene Rollins, Carolyn Haas join me once a month, and we come to the table. We just open the Word together and share what God is showing us, and we just sort of bounce off of each other and comment on each other, and just the veritable feast that God provides as we share and wrestle through our own battles in light of what Scripture says, we're hoping is feeding you. And by the text line, praise God, it's working. I can tell that your souls are being fed as well. So I'm so grateful. So for me, you know, most of you know my story, but healing for me has not come, you know, instantaneously. I contracted Lyme disease over 3 decades ago, neurological chronic Lyme. And so it affected my brain and nervous system. And I don't know if there's been a day in 3 decades I've gone without a neurological symptom, but there are seasons where it's much worse than others. And then 7 years ago, I had a major relapse. And people with chronic Lyme apparently deal with mold issues if they're exposed. And I had a severe toxic mold reaction that again attacked my brain. And interestingly, my ministry is, you know, my brain and my mouth, and yet those are the things that have been under attack so much. So, and oftentimes they say wherever your greatest disappointment is, so you find your divine appointment. And that's sure been the case for me. Now, I know that there are times God instantaneously heals. My son was a recipient of such miracle. But for me, there's a lot of trauma baked into my story. And I really believe one of the reasons God has allowed my journey to be what it is because I think a lot of people who have any kind of chronic autoimmune also have trauma. And my healing has come in leaps and bounds through functional medicine, traditional medicine, fierce disciplines, fierce faith, much time in Scripture standing on God's Word. All of it together, God has used to create a momentum in my life. So last week, I testified on my personal Facebook page. Something happened in the last 6 months where I crossed over. I'm no longer a sick person trying to get well. I'm a healed and healthy person resisting the residual impact of what's left of this disease. It's like a few branches are withering, but I really believe that. And simultaneous with this time is I'm launching a new book that's coming out in August, but pre-order started today. So I'll just say, whenever I launch a book, it seems that hell unleashes again. So anyway, the next day after I posted that, I woke up to scary, terrible, inflammatory neurological symptoms, like really bad ones that can strike terror into the hearts. And I don't want to talk about them because they're dumb, but it was such a bummer. And then this morning we sent out our e-blast for pre-orders start today, and the link defaulted to the cybersecurity. It's just so typical, right? I just felt battered because I wasn't feeling well this morning. And I alerted these girls and a few other friends, and I started to march around the house and remind myself what was true. And I remembered even this weekend on Saturday, it was a tough day, and a gal, a friend who's just got a miracle ministry, really, she prays for people and they get healed a lot. She felt prompted to reach out, not knowing what was going on. And we were audio texting back and forth, and she said, Susie, I hate that you've suffered as long as you have, but you are a living, breathing testimony. She said, some people are like bullet trains. They get their miracle so fast, so instantaneous. She said, freight trains are, on the other hand, are ones that carry a lot of cargo. You're carrying a lot of people with you. You got a lot of weight in what you're doing and what God has called you to carry. It takes a long time for a freight train to get up to peak speed, but when they do, you can't stop them. She said, you're a freight train. And that actually helped me so much. And so this morning, as I was feeling so battered by the enemy, I started to think of Revelation 12:11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. And as I was meditating on just some of the discouragement I felt physically, and just, you know, I mean, it was supposed to be a big day and enemy sort of infiltrated and messed things up temporarily. I was meditating on the power of the blood. And I think as believers, we need to grow in our understanding of the power of the blood, what that means for the remission of our sins, for the healing of our diseases, for redeeming our life from the pit, and the word of our testimony, and that truly there needs to be a consistency that we speak in agreement with what God's word says. And when we waver in unbelief and we start to speak out like Asaph did, now God welcomes our lament, and we should come to him in total raw honesty. But the hope and the prayer is that you can turn on a dime like Asaph did, because he was blaming God. You don't even let me sleep. And I'll tell you, I've said that. I've prayed that, because it's brutal when you can't sleep. You know, he was just feeling uncomforted, abandoned by God. But then he recalled what God had done. And he says, your ways, they're constantly in my thoughts. I can't stop thinking about your mighty works. And so this is the thing, is like you can reroute your thoughts and it'll change your whole day and your perspective. He says, oh God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are the God of great wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. By your strong arm, you redeemed your people. Now jump down here. When the Red Sea saw you, its waters looked and trembled. The sea quaked to its very depths. The clouds poured down rain. The thunder rumbled in the sky. Your arrows of lightning flashed. Your thunder roared in the world from the whirlwind. The lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Listen to this. Your road led through the sea. Your pathway through the mighty waters. A pathway no one knew was there. You led your people along that road like a flock of sheep. Now, I want you to think about this, because whenever that enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard. He absolutely does. But our agreement, much like these girls have been saying, matters so much. And in that moment this morning, for a brief time, I was on defense. I felt like I was being pummeled. But then I rose up and remembered what was true. I did exactly what Asaph said. I'm like, wait a minute, let me rehearse what God has said to me over these 30 years, because I am a miracle. I literally am. I mean, 30 years ago, my Lyme doctor said, you were one of my sickest patients, and the others are bound to wheelchairs. I am a miracle. I'm just declaring that. It hasn't been easy, but I'm still standing. And so I started to recall, what are some of the prophetic words I've received? What are the times and the days when the word leapt off the page? What is the power of the blood? I even had communion, and I just remembered what Jesus won for me. And I remembered when he said, when the man was lowered through the roof, what's easier? What's harder, forgiving sins or healing a man? They're the same to him. They're the same effort. It cost him the same. And as I started to rehearse the power of the blood, and then rehearse his promises, and get my mouth back into alignment, and then love not your life even unto death. Sometimes what strikes terror into me is like the past pain projecting a fear of the future, and it puts you into self-preservation. And I think these battles will show you places when you want to go into self-preservation, and that's where you go, my times are in your hands. My times are in your hands, God. The devil will not have the last say. You will have the last say. And so I'm going to look straight into that fear and look past it to my God, who's never failed me yet. So that's a mouthful, girls, but that's where I've been hanging out today. And I marvel at the difference. I felt the shift in the atmosphere when I did what Asaph did in Psalm 77. There's so much power in his word and his blood and our words and our perspective. Any thoughts?
I'm inspired. Susie, you're such an inspiration. And I'm just, thank you for being a warrior, and thank you for being vulnerable. Thank you for sharing, letting other people carry your burden, and watching you, you know, not just watching you fight, but also letting us fight with you in prayer. And you have an army of listeners who love you and are praying for you. And I think that's why God continues to even increase your influence and your voice, because you have proven faithful to always run to the Lord and to his word and to his people, and to not battle alone in isolation. And so thank you. I'm just encouraged.
Love you, friend.
Yeah, I'm grateful just how your persistence in prayer, like you just keep, like she said, just keep running back to his promises, and then your perspective changes, and then you start praising him. And that's like the proof of your faith. So thank you for what you do. You are a miracle. And I pray that the listeners are inspired and encouraged to make prayer their persistence, lean into his promises so their perspective can change, and praise like crazy, even in advance.
Come on.
It's amen. Already done.
Yeah. I just amen everything they said, because I love how you show us how a troubled heart can remember a great God. just like ASAP. And you really, really live that. And I was even thinking about those moments that we all have where we're like the father whose son, was he deaf and mute? Where he says, "Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief." Like, I sometimes feel like that ties in with those moments of why is this happening? But I believe you can do this, God. And so I'm just so grateful for you too.
Mm-hmm. You know what, Susie, you also demonstrate to us is that you have not made healing an idol in your life. Mm-hmm. You know, you've kept God, God. And you, you know, it's kind of like the, you know, three men in the fiery furnace, like, hey, even if he doesn't deliver us, he's still our God. And I think so often we look for miracles and healing to be our God. You know what I mean? And we're not going to be happy or joy filled until we're healed. And you, or we're not going to do ministry, or we're not going to serve until we feel better. And I think you are just a living epistle to us all of, no, I'm going to still trust God and fight and ask for healing. I'm going to always pray, never give up, Luke 18. But I'm going to also, God is God, and I'm not going to be mad at him, and I'm not going to resent, and I'm going to worship him, and I'm going to trust him with my life. I mean, Hebrews 11 gives us the example of there's many people who did not receive the promise, but they're in the hall of faith in scripture, and they're cheering us on. And so ultimately our healing is in heaven. This earth is not our home. We're entitled his presence and his peace.
Boy, that's so good. As we get ready to wrap, I do remember one thing the Lord showed me a few years ago. You don't have to feel well to be powerful. And I think maybe someone needs to hear that today. But friends, our best days are ahead of us. Eternity is coming, right? And we engage our faith. We remember his miracles. We believe him for miracles. We keep our perspective, our eyes fixed on him. And we do watch our words. I think it is important to be careful how you speak about your pain. Of course, lament. But be able to turn on a dime and then declare his faithfulness. You girls, if you could see the text line, I think you would be so encouraged. People really were set on fire in the best way today. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Love you.
Love you.
You're all amazing. Amazing, amazing. Andy Andrews, Irene Rollins, Carolyn Haas make up the Bible Talk team. And what a powerful show we had today. I am so grateful that we can see these texts come in. I'm grateful we could encourage you today. We love and appreciate you. And we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.